ready to get back to work? Is that right? Okay, we're back in order. Dan mentioned, by the way, that this was this plaque was made from a recycled highway sign, but he was at some pains to point out that it was legally obtained. So you can see it was a highway sign. Pretty cool. Right under the rivers where he or she belongs. Okay, let's move on, please, to the next time certain item, which is 1186.
Appoint a pool of community volunteers to be available to serve on the police review board.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. My name is Constantine Severe, director of the Independent Police Review. I am here to forward the auditor's recommendation of a pool of community volunteers to serve on the police review board. There are 13 folks who will be recommended to you. The police review board, briefly, it serves as an advisory body to the chief of police and the police commissioner. Here, serious disciplinary cases involving police officers and all officer-involved shootings, in custody deaths. The police review board also makes policy recommendations to the police bureau and the chief, and as well as training recommendations. So according to city code, the auditor's office, particularly the independent police review, serves as the city agency that gathers the community members so that council can appoint to the police review board. And the diverse group of individuals before you today is the result of the extreme efforts of Irene Konev in our office. It built upon some prior recruitment cycles of going all over this community to get community member volunteers that reflect the diversity in this community. We have folks who are poets, librarians, attorneys, several individuals who help the most vulnerable folks in our society. We have 8 women. So I'm really impressed with the quality of applicants that we can present to you. And I'll just read their names. I believe you have their background information. So I'm pretty sure you read it already, and you are impressed as well as I am. So the 13 individuals that we are presenting to you today are Bruno Michi, Izara Asensio, Austin Battleden, Jeff Bissonette, David Denneke, Bridget Donegan, Emily Duquette, Svetlana Glinka, Laura Orr, Rhiannon Orizaga, Joe Pugh, Lisa Rogers, and Lindsay Short. And just in the interest of time, I'll cut my presentation short.
Can I make a request? Sure. Can we match names and faces here?
Oh, yes. Good.
Even if it just means having people stand if they're able, just so that we can.
So all, can all the PRB applicants stand up if you're here right now?
Most of them are here. Welcome. Thank you very much for your willingness to serve and for being here today. So thank you. Okay. Questions? For Mr. Severe or for.
So, could you just, for people watching, tell people what the police review board does and what these volunteers will be doing?
So, great question, Commissioner. So, the police review board, most simply, hears fully completed misconduct investigations and makes recommended findings and proposed discipline in misconduct cases and in officer-involved shootings and custody deaths. These community members before us today will serve individually as part of a community member pool. The police review board has 5 voting members. There is 1 slot allocated for 1 community member. In officer-involved shootings, use of force cases, there are 2 community members that serve.
And then are the others just advisory on the policies, or is that the only function that the folks who are applying for we're going to approve today is taking turns to be on particular board reviews?
Yeah, so it's the way it works is basically on an individual case, we will the police bureau will put together the 5 voting members, and the community members who are here today, it's just each one of them serves on a particular board.
And how is it selected which one serves on a particular review
board? Oh, so that is done randomly with the review board coordinator. So a lot of it is based on availability of community members, and that's actually one of the biggest struggles of, one, getting volunteers and then having people kind of serve for their three-year terms. A lot of the boards are in the middle of the day, and it's can be anywhere from a two-hour to 4 or 5 hours. So the fact that we have so many community members who are willing to give up a significant part of their workday, I believe most of the community members who are volunteering for this particular three-year term are fully employed and or have obligations with their family, like being full-time mothers.
About how much time would they be given in advance to know that they were selected for a particular board?
About 2 weeks.
Okay. And is there any attention paid on the selection to making sure that there's a balance of women and men and racial diversity on the board?
So one of the, I believe one of the reasons why the auditor's office was given the privilege of gathering the community members was so that we would do a pretty diverse and wide-reaching selection of community members. So one of the things that Irene does and other IPR staff members do when we are doing our outreach events is trying to go to particularly events that are aimed at women and particularly our new and emerging Portlanders. When you go back, let's say, 6 or 7 years ago, we had a police review board, particularly on the community member side, that was overwhelmingly retired individuals and overwhelmingly white, and it didn't really reflect our community, and particularly on police oversight issues. I think there's an important aspect of making sure that all Portlanders are represented on the police review board, because we all as Portlanders have a stake in the success of the police bureau and holding officers accountable. And these community members, as you've seen by them standing up, really are a very diverse group of individuals.
I appreciate that explanation. I'm also wondering, when you're going to seat the five voting members and somebody's picking the one, is there attention paid to who the other four would be?
So the five voting members, that's determined by city code. So the involved officer's commander is one of them. IPR director, assistant chief who's in charge of the branch, and a community member and a peer officer member. So those are the five voting members of a police review board.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not being very clear, but although that was good information to get out to, if you look at, does the person appointing whichever one of the volunteers gets in on a particular case look at, well, we've got four people with these demographics, and could we please make sure that we've got somebody who matches, for instance, either the appellant or the officer?
Oh, to my knowledge, that I do not know that answer.
And you and the auditor are currently in process of looking at the police review board process and bringing back something to council?
So the police review board process, no. So the, as we're all aware of, there was a focus group that looked at variety of changes to the accountability system. So what the auditor proposed was a relatively narrow attempt at fixing, particularly issues revolving around the earlier stages of the administrative investigation process involving IPR, of the Police Bureau's Internal Affairs, and then the appeals stage involving the Citizen Review Committee. The only change to the Police Review Board would be to allow community members to be able to be present during the fact-finding section of the Police Review Board and be able to speak at the Police Review Board, which they currently do not.
I thought at one point there was a suggestion to put more of this Citizen Review Committee on the board.
So that was part of the option of possibly merging the Citizen Review Committee's appeal function with the Police Review Board. There was significant public feedback on that. One of the biggest issues was the Police Review Board is not a public body, so there is not ability to comment publicly. The city could choose to do that, but it would face significant issues from the employee side of possibly that being a mandatory subject of bargaining. And so that's where, I guess, the decision makers within the city left it.
Well, thank you. And thank you for just explaining to people watching at home in very clear language what all of these roles do, and thank you all to the volunteers.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
So let me follow up on something that Commissioner Fritz raised, and I'll have to step carefully here because I'm talking about a real case, so obviously I won't get as specific as I might. Folks, please do not interrupt me or anybody else. Commissioner Fritz raised the issue of gender balance on these panels. There was a recent case involving sexual misconduct by an officer. It was a male officer, and the entire panel that reviewed it was male.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do about that?
So the police review board, that is something that is within the police bureau. So the auditor's office's role is in recommending to council the citizen volunteers. From a global perspective of making sure that all aspects of our accountability system reflects our community, I think that's part of the conversation that we have been having for the last year or so, particularly around changing the accountability system. Going forward, I think that's a conversation that I think we should have as long as you're mayor, as well with the future mayor, because it's going to be a long-term conversation. Part of it is the way our accountability system works is that ultimately the decision rests with the chief of police and yourself as the police commissioner. The community has certain parts where it can kind of participate, but there's a lot of it that rests within the police bureau. The police bureau is not as diverse as our society is. The police bureau is overwhelmingly male. So part of that is making sure there are more police bureau commanders, assistant chiefs who are female. Because when you look at who the five voting members are on any police review board, three of those slots are police bureau slots. There is one IPR slot. There is one community member slot. So, on the IPR side, two-thirds of the managing folks at IPR are female. If you look at the police bureau, it's not going to be two-thirds. It's going to be 80-something percent the other direction. So I think part of it is starting with the police bureau.
Well, I want to flag that issue. It is both a police bureau issue and a structural issue and a practice question.
But in that particular instance, if there is an allegation of sexual misconduct, the one person that we do have ability to make sure that there's a both sexes are involved is to choose one of the females on from this volunteer group and make sure that in those particular cases that there is somebody who looks like and identifies with the appellant.
Sure.
It's a good suggestion.
That
Thank
might
you.
Be something to put into the policy when we bring it back.
I think it would
yes,
be
ma'am.
A good thing to put into the policy. Thank you. Okay. Other questions? Thank you. Okay. Let's take public testimony, please.
We have seven people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Shedrick J. Wilkins, Joe Walsh, and Charles Bridge Crane Johnson.
I'm Shedrick Wilkins, and I wouldn't mind being on the police review board. Something has changed my mind recently. A month ago, Joe and I sparred around about the issue of blood testing people after a car accident, and Mayor Hales says that there's, 33, 34 homicides by cars more than guns or whatever, 15. It is possible that if people are going to be blood tested, they may resist the police, they may try to flee the police, and it might be necessary to have additional police officers to restrain this person or chase after them, whatever, to give them a blood test, which I insist is something Joe disagrees about, certs and seizure, but I don't agree with that. Because this week, some guy in the United States crashed a truck and killed 10 people and himself. And they don't really know if he was. I do agree with this. This is coupled with the idea that we now have recreational marijuana. Some people are blindsided. They think they're better drivers if they're high. And it, unlike alcohol, if you're high, let's say this, if you have a fender bender and you say you almost have a heart attack, you should be stressed when you're driving. This idea that you're totally relaxed is ridiculous. Your blood pressure should go up. So I have a problem with people who smoke or are on Prozac. I don't think if you're on Prozac, you should drive a car. you should be stressed. Okay, that argument. So I'm saying that because of this, I've now changed my mind and I support the police contract because we'll need additional officers to support blood testing. So I agree with the mayor, Amanda Fritz, and the police contract. And you can boo me if you want, but I'm saying to us too that people who...
Actually, you can't, folks. Keep going.
People here who generally oppose the police contract also do not want blood tests.
Thank
Think
you.
About that one.
Okay, thanks very much. Who'd like me next?
Good morning. My name is Joe Olson. I represent Individuals for Justice, for the record. Once again, we take issue with the process. We all know in our hearts and our brain that we are in serious trouble, and our mechanisms are not working as far as the police department is concerned. So we should redo them. My understanding on this is you have five members, and one is a community member. Is that accurate? So it's...
Here.
You have four votes, and then you have this community person that's sitting there with the cops. And they probably have their guns, because they always carry their guns in these meetings. That's not a good environment to have truth and understanding of what is going on. So you should redo it. And one of the ways you can redo it is to set up the Charter Commission. You promised us, Mayor, when you came in that you would do that. You never did. And it takes the mayor to do it. You really have to institute the Charter Commission. So maybe you could say to Ted Wheeler when he's coming in to think about that and look at all of our commissions, all of our committees, because they're not working. We know that. Right? And whatever we're doing is not something we should continue to do, because what I said last night is really accurate. We are one incident away from a riot that will tear this city apart. And we're all fighting to stop it. That's what I do. I fight to stop it. And if I anger people in the process, too bad. Because I've been in riots. I grew up in New York. I've been in riots. I know what a riot does. It's really scary. And it's really damaging. So we need to redo everything that we've been doing as far as the police is concerned. Look at it. And if it takes a charter change, make the charter change and give it to the people and let them vote on it. You have to get this city involved. It's not. You have a very small group of people that come here week after week after week. We don't get paid for this, by the way. We do this on our own. It's because we believe in what we're doing, whether you like it or not. We believe in what we're doing. And we will continue to do it, even with Ted Wheeler. Charter Commission, you have to make the changes. If you keep doing what you're doing, this city is going to be in serious trouble with one incident. And Mayor, you almost caused it last week. The way those cops came after those people, I missed it. But I watched it on video. It was awful.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson, go ahead.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, I'm being identified as Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. And it turns out, you probably can't see this up there because of the weird lighting, but it looks like I'm seated in what was the seat of that guy who's been charged by the Oregon Department of Justice Criminal Division with a misdemeanor for shooting people in the back or some events related to that. I regret that I'm not really prepared, so I don't know who these other two gentlemen testifying at that time are. I can tell you that that's Carla Love Moore and that's Joe Walsh, very diligent citizen. And on the next tab on my browser, it says Byzantine Portland Police. 14,900,000 results. The top result being hopefully from the United States Department of Justice. You remember them? We talked with them yesterday. Ellen Osinatch, city attorney, talked about me. I don't think she got to mention me by name and my cup of water. But we still have a Byzantine Portland police system. We had a proposal to I don't know, some thought the auditor wanted to streamline it. It certainly wasn't the straight to gulag type of streamlining, because it was really like more impunity and more emancipation. But I'm not as prepared as probably some of the following presenters. I'm hoping that when that Mr. Handelman has chosen to testify on this, and he'll talk to us about why when we recruit citizens, that's not what we mean. We mean we're going to recruit lawyers and business owners. I didn't even take notes about the exact number of people, but some people think there are certain situations in this country that are a mess, and that maybe we should draw more clear lines to the percentage of attorneys that, they're missing. They're missing from the city commission. I'm up here talking about attorneys having an excessive role in government, and attorney Steve Novick and attorney Nick Fish are not quite participating in public government at this moment. Beautiful. Perhaps they've gone to Salem or to, their eyes are probably on the prize, the Senate. The point is that at least this is not called the Citizen Review Committee. Our current Citizen Review Committee is staffed by a former prosecuting attorney, was a 12-year prosecutor DA in Michigan. So we're not really getting citizen involvement. We're gleaning some high-level people. The police don't prosecute those people for the crimes. The police troll among the poor and people of color and cause their problems there. And then their conduct is judged by... There are some interesting people on this panel. I'm impressed with a couple of candidates, but I hope Mr. Handelman will speak more comprehensively to the problem of the pool that's before you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Are Mary Eng, Dan Handelman, and Kenner Swain.
Ms. Eng is asking if I would go first. I'm happy to do that. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Dan Handelman. I'm with the group Portland Cop Watch. The pool of civilians that we are talking about rotates onto the police review board one at a time. So, in other words, it is a misnomer to call it a board, since the members never talk to each other. Also, since the police review board's hearings are not open to the public or the media, or as yet to the person who was harmed by the police, they never interact with the community. Because a CRC member rotates on to seven member boards, no two PRB members ever sit together. Portland Cop Watch sent a second inquiry to the Bureau recently about why their July 2016 PRB report hadn't been posted, and they quietly placed the highly redacted case files online last week. I don't know why, if they're so proud of this and they were so transparent, and this is the excuse that you give of why the public is shut out, that we get this report, that they don't put out a news release and inform people. When we wrote an email asking where that report is, we didn't even get an email back. The Mercury published something about it. That's how we knew it was published. And as I've said before, we like to play Police Review Board report Mad Libs because it's so highly redacted. You don't have no idea what they're talking about. So we put in Kim Kardashian's name and other. Anyway, the PRB is such a secretive body. We have no idea how many members previously appointed are continuing. The PRB used to have 19 or 20 members, and 13 are being nominated. There are 9 females and 4 males. 6 are current or former attorneys. And while it sort of helps to have a legal analysis of serious police misconduct cases, the PRB is reviewing them for policy violations, not legal ones, so standards are much different. The question of how many people are in the board civilian pool is not helped by the supporting paperwork, which states these nominees are to fill vacancies of expired terms, quote, bringing the total to 13, but there are only 13 names before you today. So I'd like to hear an answer of how many total members there are in the pool. In addition, the auditor seems to have created new authority for the Bureau with the ordinance stating the Police Bureau will select citizen members for the Police Review Board from a pool of volunteers recommended by the city auditor and appointed by city council. The ordinance says the members will be nominated by the auditor and appointed by the council, not that the Bureau has any say in the appointees. One of the applicant's biography states that she's looking forward to representing all voices not currently at the table for a safer community for all. The PRB members have no mechanism to communicate with the broader public about what they're doing. They never hold public meetings, the hearings are confidential, and names are not used in the meetings, in the reports. The board is composed of 3 or 4 police, a manager from the IPR, and the PRB member, CRC members, who have served on the boards, as Mr. Walsh was saying, have reported feeling uncomfortable that it's a room full of police. This is probably amplified for the non-force-related PRBs where civilians are there solo. The simple solution to speeding up CRC appeals would be to allow PRB members to rotate onto CRC panels. They have the same training, and on that note, their trainings used to be public, and in fact used to be posted online as videos for the public to see. Can I go on for another 30 seconds or so, Mayor?
May I as well, in interest of equality, or only him?
He's representing an organization.
Thank you. Similarly, the community is not even invited to those trainings anymore, where we used to be. So I do want to just say that, you know, it was brought up that part of the problem with having PRB meetings in public has to do with the contract. Your 10 days to rescind your vote on that has passed, but I still would call on you. You suspended your rules to push everybody out of here. You suspended your rules to leave this chamber. You suspended your rules to change the order of the agenda. You can suspend your rules and revoke the contract. It doesn't go into effect until the 11th, and we urge you to rescind the contract right away, so these changes can be made to the oversight system that are urgent.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Hanlon. Ms. Ng?
Hi. City Council, nice to see you. My name is Mary Ng. Dan Saltzman, I want to commend you on your style of presentation. Whenever the mayor is absent, your manner of treating citizens has been nothing but respectful, so far as I've seen, and I think you deserve a lot of credit for that, because I think when you show respect, you receive respect back. And my mom kind of taught me about the theory in psychology is the looking glass self. And if you're looking for the worst in people, you can bring out the worst easily. So I really thank you for that. And for these applicants or nominees, I want you to keep very much attention to the latest report from the DOJ. It is a very dense document, a lot of very heavy acronyms, but there's some very interesting points regarding the utilization of a neo-Nazi to harass Jewish people at the police accountability meeting with the Citizens Review Committee. It's very coded language, but you can find this on page 107. Regarding using a neo-Nazi to assault the accountability process. I'm very thrilled with the DOJ assessment. They are moving forward. And I've been on a letter writing campaign, speaking at City Council, facing direct retaliation, including being bruised at this chamber. So I have a process under review. John Rhodes at Internal Affairs is investigating the brutality that was applied to me for being, as a trained paralegal, an advocate for police brutality victims. So you must know that there is direct retaliation and intimidation tactics, including positing a weapon on me so I might be killed. Mr. Hales won't let me know if he and Engstrom conspired, if he, Engstrom, and Chandler conspired, if Waltz and Engstrom conspired. So we've got a lot of possibilities as to who came up with this dodgy excuse to beat me up. But it is very fishy, and you've got to be prepared for that, because when I talked to John Rhodes at Internal Affairs, he said, oh, Todd Engstrom would never do anything like that. And I you know what I said to him after he had covered me with bruises is, well, I've heard a lot of things about you, Todd Engstrom, but you're a perfect gentleman, which was a stretch of the truth, because he was not treating me like a normal Swedish man, because in Sweden, we have gender equity. So I asked him, well, are you Swedish? And I said, I'm Norwegian. So then I was kind of like, wow, these American Scandinavians really aren't up to par on gender equity. This is quite unusual, because I've actually studied policing memoranda from SAPO, from the Swedish police, because I find their progressive ideas about gender balance very important. And I have to make it known that on our COAB, a testimony last night, we went after Marshman's choking of his son, his stalking of his ex in police uniform. We went at it Rosenbaum and Watson were so exhausted from Jonas Geisler and the citizens that we kept after them. No woman in her right mind would go to a police force that involves a child-abusing, choking stalker for a chief at back-to-back with a shooting scandal with alcoholism and a cover-up.
Okay, next.
Good morning. My name is Kenner Swain, and pardon me for turning my back, but there's a reason for it.
I'm sorry, we can't hear you on the microphone if you do that.
I'd just like to say as a citizen that it's very stressful to come to these meetings. I'm fairly new to Portland. And hear all the rude interruptions that I've heard. So I'm a citizen. I'm not an elected official. No one's paying me the big bucks to sit here and say anything. These usually are open meetings. And so pretty much everyone gets a chance to sit and have their say. I do feel that there's some, so having said that, it's also disheartening. It was disheartening to not have an open public meeting when the contract was finally voted on. And I think having taught high school in Chicago for several years, having worked at a psychiatric hospital preaching sermons for a year, it's, if you are being paid the big bucks or the medium bucks or whatever, it's your job to keep control of the room. And it's difficult, but it's, you know, it's your job, in my opinion, to arrest people, maybe not to use pepper spray, but to try to keep public meetings going. So maybe it is an idea. If it's too far outside the box, maybe you could cancel the contract and take heed of Commissioner Novick's objections and say, we have an emergency and maybe we could do something to reconsider. I don't advise anyone to resign. Everyone should finish their term, in my opinion. If you're being paid, you should do that. But this particular issue, the Police Review Board, does, it seems to me to be, I don't know how it's related to the Citizen Review Committee, but it seems like it's going down the wrong direction toward less transparency. It seems that way from what I read. I don't know if the media is distorting things. I appreciate being able to speak without interrupting and editorial comments. I really wish people would have enough respect. I feel like sometimes...
Let's have a recess! Let's have a recess!
Okay, we have one.
Recess!
All right, Mr. Johnson, you're excluded.
I really feel like...
We're recessed until he's excluded.
How about the Oregon State Hospital? That'd be a great place for me right okay. now. Police, right. 911. I'll dial up on the phone.
Johnson, Mr. Johnson, go ahead and leave, please. All right, I'm sorry. We're going to have to. We'll come back.
Chambers, I'm on my phone. I'll get it right here.
Okay. Mr. Johnson, you're excluded. You're going to need to leave.
Yeah. I'm not getting around. Out. I know I need to leave. I need to leave when the police get here. Just like we've had to do this crap 3 weeks in a row, and nobody gives a shit about the fucking people. Shut up in the group! No! Get out! Get out! Get out! Police, come now!
Okay, as soon as we have a quorum, we'll resume. Okay, so is Steve coming back? All right, well, we can proceed with three of us. All right.